want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Oh, praise God. I just welcome every person to the podcast. Father, I thank you for President Trump, Vice President Vance. I thank you for Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, Dan Bargino, Tulsa Gabbard. I thank you for all the bold men and women standing up in this land. I pray the Spirit of God rest upon them, that you grant them a spirit of grace. I pray the Spirit of God be upon all the men and women in the government, and all the kings and the presidents throughout the earth, upon all the military officers. Father, I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. Father, I give thanks for all men and for all that are in authority, that we live a peaceable life in all godliness. Amen. You know, I want to go over a few scriptures that support what I was talking about last week, about as we're loosed from sin, you can be led by the Spirit of God. And this is what every Christian should be after, where you can be the head and not the tail, and you can rule in life. Because the only way you can rule in life is walking in the Spirit of God. Turn to Isaiah 58, verse 6. Let's read that. Let's start there. Is not this the time, and I'm reading the New Life Version, is not the time without eating, which I choose, a time to take off the chains of sin and to take the heavy load of sin off the neck? Is it not a time to let those who suffer under a sinful power go free, and to break every load from their neck? Is it not a time to share your food with the hungry, and to bring the poor man into your house who has no home of his own? Is it not a time to give clothes to the person you see who has no clothes, and a time to not hide yourself from your own family? Then your light will break out like the early morning, and you will soon be healed. Your right and good works will go before you, and the shining greatness of the Lord shall keep watch behind you. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here am I. If you take the weight of sin away and stop putting the blame on others and stop speaking sinful things, and if you will give what you have to the hungry and feel the needs of those who suffer, then your light will rise in darkness, and your darkness will be like the brightest time of day. The Lord will always lead you. See what happens after you lose from your sin and you do righteousness? The Lord will always lead you. He will meet the needs of your soul in the dry times and give strength to your body. You will be like a garden that has enough water, like a well of water that never dries up. See? So the Lord will always lead us. So go over those scriptures, look at them. It's just another truth that is your turn from your iniquities. This is not the only thing you got to go through to walk in the Spirit, to be brought into the walk of the Spirit. This is one of them. Well, I'll tell you, I got resistance, but I almost always do. Rarely does this come easy. So I would say we need to change our attitude about dealing with sin. This is life, folks. This is victory. This is coming out of death, and it's the way, you know, it's not only coming out of death, it's the way into the walk of God's Spirit. And God's Spirit is glorious, and his presence is joy and happiness. Now, God also, to come into the walk of the Spirit, God has to lead us through a series of temptations, humble us, correct us, bring us so that we can come into the walk of the Spirit. And these are all, and it talks about this, we're going to look at this in Deuteronomy 8. In fact, go ahead and turn there, Deuteronomy 8. This is all part of dying to sin. Verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to fear. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. Okay, so God walks you and me through these things and brings us into the land. If you will learn to yield to correction. You don't go into the land just because you suffered long enough. You go into the land after his purpose for going into the wilderness is accomplished. See, that's why you have to put the word of God before you to make sure, keep it in your heart, put it before your eyes, make sure you obey it so you're not suffering in vain. So you don't walk through these things and just keep walking in circles, but you learn to humble yourself. You learn to obey the word of God in whatever situation you're in. You know, and there's, you know, there's some suffering in being humbled and going through temptation. But some people suffer but never learn God's ways and don't obey. Therefore, they don't get what God has for them. And go ahead and turn to Hebrews 4:10. Let's look at that. This is talking about coming into the walk of the Spirit. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. When you're led by the Spirit of God, you will cease from your own works. Verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Okay, so this tells us why some people don't get into the rest of God or the walk of the Spirit. Unbelief. Not trusting God. Not obeying God. And if you go back to verse 8, it refers to Joshua leading the children of Israel into the promised land, and it's comparing it here to us entering the rest of God, where we're led or we're carried by the Spirit of God, where we cease from our own works, and it's no longer us but God working through us. Let's read that. Verse 8, International Standard Version. It's hard to just speak this, I'm telling you. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken later of another day. He said, why is it hard to speak? Spirits, evil spirits resisting me. See, I've known for a long time, people say, I don't even know if I believe in evil spirits. Shoot, I had the powers of darkness attack me from day one. It's never stopped. Never stops. But it's all for my perfection. So I rejoice. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear lest promise being left us of entering his rest. You know, I had this, I'm going to go right back to a second. I had this audio where I was praying the Psalms fervently. I think I lost it. I don't know what I did with it. But while I was doing that, while I was praying the Psalms, I almost lost my voice. And I could tell I was opposing that I engaged evil spirits while I was praying. And this is how you wrestle with the devils in prayer. And reading the Word of God out loud is a form of prayer. And when you get in faith and begin to move in the Spirit, then you'll engage evil spirits. And I begin to wrestle with them. And it's very beneficial to do this. Sometimes it hurts to push through this stuff. I mean, not real bad, but I mean, it's irritating. But you have to learn to do this. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of any ender's rest, any should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed of faith in them that heard it. So they didn't enter into the promised land, and we don't enter into the rest or the walk of the Spirit if we don't believe the gospel. And this is talking to believers. So we have to keep believing the gospel. It's not a one time. It's not like, well, we never believe the gospel. You can believe the gospel once and not go into the land. You have to keep believing it. And as we continue to believe the gospel, come into the walk of the Spirit, then the blessings of God are ours. See, this is, tells you the purpose of going into the wilderness. It's not just so he can bring you to a place and give you all this money and all these blessings. It's to bring you, it's to convert you, to change your heart so you can walk in the Spirit of God. This is what God wants. You walk in his Spirit. You go from walking in the wrong spirit to walking in the Spirit of God. You go from walking in sin to walking in righteousness. There's a lot of people think they're walking in righteousness, but they're still in the wrong spirit. You're not walking in righteousness. You may be trying to, but you're not there yet. Okay. And we read where verse 11 says we're to labor to enter into the rest. Okay. Let's read verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into the rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Okay, John 6:29. This is how we labor. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he have sent. See, we are to labor to believe the gospel. And as we do, we'll get our faith working and get the power of God working us to overcome the powers of the devil. Just like the children of Israel had to overcome all the wicked kings and the inhabitants of the land during the land of Canaan. They were representations of the powers and the principalities and the rulers of darkness that we have to overcome. See, it's so simple once you get understanding. God leading the children of Israel through the wilderness and all the things they went through, then he brought them into the promised land. So likewise, God leads us down a righteous pathway, a pathway of correction, so we can overcome our sins, and then we have to wrestle with the devil and overcome the powers of darkness. Then we come into the rest of God, the walk of the Spirit. And you'll have trouble believing because of the powers of darkness. Now, God, you know, God's raising me up as a spiritual leader, and I'm still overcoming so I can function as a spiritual leader. And I'm going to, and I've been doing this, and I'll continue to do this to show people the way and to minister the Spirit to break yokes of bondage and to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And, you know, the Word of God, and I keep saying this because I say these things because it helps my heart believe it more and more. But God's given me the authority to rebuild the hearts of people by the Spirit of God. And you can see that where Paul said that he was a wise master builder, and that's 1 Corinthians 3:10 and verse 9 says, we're the building. People of God are the building. It's talking about their heart. So it says right there, we can rebuild the hearts. All right? And you can hear, you can read about other ministers. They go and talk about the scribes and Pharisees went and made people two times a child of hell. They themselves were. See, they were making people's hearts worse. So the minister you listen to can change your heart for better or worse. Okay. Now, let's do some more renewing or rebuilding of the hearts. Malachi 3:6. That's the purpose of me saying these things. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13:8. Now, just stay with me because I'm going to show you these truths I'm going to bring forth today to rebuild your heart. It's by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, have you ever heard people say God is different in the Old Testament than he is in the New Testament? See, many see God as a wrathful being in the Old Testament who destroyed the human race in the flood of Noah and other times when God was angry with his people, poured out his wrath. And they see God as a loving being in the New Testament who sent his son to die on the cross for all our sins. But did you know the plan for Jesus to come and die for our sins was planned from the foundation of the world? Okay, so that sheds some light. God's the same way in the old, he's one in the new. He was the loving God all along that had this plan. Revelation 13:8. Let's read that. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So from the very foundation of the world, God already had the plan to manifest himself in the flesh. This is the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, and come and die for our sins and be raised again for our justification. You know, Christmas has always been the happiest time of the year for me. And, you know, because we get, of course, very happy memories from childhood. And then even to this day, we get together with the family, give gifts one to another, celebrate the birth of Christ. And I like a lot of the Christmas songs. And so I'm just sowing this in my own heart and in your heart that the God of the Old Testament had the plan to send his son to die for my sins and your sins and to be raised again to justify us and to bring us into a good relationship with him from the foundation of the world. See, God is love, and he always has been. Let's read this. This is told every Christmas. Luke 2:10, and the angel said unto him, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." See, the God of the Old Testament says to the people of the world who are in a fallen state, under the law, under the power of sin, peace, goodwill to all of you. See why he was sending Christ the Lord to come die for us. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he has made us accepted in the beloved." See, so when you think that God was one way in the old, another way in the new, no, he wasn't. He was love in the old and in the new. And from the foundation of the world, he planned to come and die for us and to make us his children. Malachi 3:6, contemporary English version. "Descendants of Jacob, I am the Lord, all powerful. I never change. That's why you haven't been wiped out." Also know this, right before God gave the Ten Commandments, he revealed his nature to Moses. Let's look at that. Exodus 34:6, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundance of goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, on the third and fourth generation." You can also see that God is just and cannot just clear the guilty. There had to be a penalty for that transgression. So he paid the penalty himself. Nehemiah 9:17, "And refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return unto their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsook of them not." See, these are the people that God led through the Red Sea being split. They still were rebellious, but God had great mercy on them. James 1:17, Amplified Bible. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variableness, no rising or setting or shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and never changes. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll put a song in here. "It Is No Secret What God Can Do" by Pamela Pontia.
The chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have hope for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. God can do. There is no night, for in God's light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
So, God's arms are open wide to you this day. All right? Now, the words I'm speaking in the Spirit of God will transform you, okay? Romans 12:1, International Standard Version. I therefore urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice that are holy and pleasing to God, for this is a reasonable way for you to worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but continuously be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may be able to determine what is God's will or what God's will is, what is proper and pleasing and perfect. Now, this word transform means metamorpho. And this is where we get the English word metamorphosis, which means a change of the form or the nature of a thing or a person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. And we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, this word renewing means renovation. And renovation, you know, of course, means to restore to a former state by cleaning, repairing, or rebuilding what has been, and rebuilding. And what's being rebuilt is our mind. And the mind here means the intellect, thoughts, feelings, will, understand. So, we're having our mind rebuilt, having the way we think change, our emotions change, and our wills change. Now, people will read right over this and think, we just change the way we think, then we're transformed. No, we yield to God by setting our heart and mind to think the right way, but God has to rebuild our mind. All right? The same Greek word for renewed is used in Titus 3:5, New International Version. Let's read that. He saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal. Now there's that word, renewed, renewal by the Holy Spirit, rebuilding by the Spirit. See, that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the rebuilding of our mind, by the Spirit of God. Okay? So being transformed is a work of the Spirit in the believer's life. And these scriptures are just more scriptures showing you didn't become a new creature in Christ immediately after you received the Lord. And all bad things didn't pass away immediately. And the truth I'm bringing to you this day, that God is the same in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. New Testament, these words and the work of the Spirit of God will transform you as your heart is able to grab a hold of it. Sometimes we know that, you know, what's God is bound. Sometimes we don't. And God knows what truth we need to set us free. Did you know there are people who have a view of God like he's a mean, cruel being, and they don't want anything to do with him because they have all these misconceptions about God? I had a family member years back say to me he believed the New Testament was a God, but he didn't believe the Old Testament was a God. And I didn't hardly know anything about the Word of God back then. I just started, just turned my life to the Lord. But right out of my mouth, I said back to this family member, well, Jesus quoted Jeremiah, Isaiah, and other prophets. And so the Lord was saying the Old Testament is of God. But I don't know, why this family member didn't believe the Old Testament was of God. But my guess is he didn't like some of the things written in the Old Testament. You know, and people are like that. Their heart, if something scares people bad, their heart automatically repels it. If it feels condemning, they repel it. They resist it. And let me show you something in Hebrews that I saw years back, and it made me realize why so many people don't want to hear the Word of God. Turn to the 12th chapter, verse 18, Contemporary English Version. You have not come to a place like Mount Sinai that can be seen and touched. There is no flaming fire, dark cloud, or storm, or trumpet sound. The people of Israel heard a voice speak, but they begged it to stop because they could not obey its command. They were even told to kill any animal that touched the mountain. The sight was so frightening that Moses said he shook with fear. Now, these scriptures are in the context of receiving correction. And there are unbelievers who have a bunch of the law of Moses in their heart, and they don't want to hear the Word of God because of fear and condemnation. And there's some Christians that don't want to hear correction because of fear and condemnation in them. And they may not even know why they don't want to hear it. You know, it can be in your subconscious. You can even walk in a room where there's a bunch of people and start talking about God, and some people will freeze up, some will get nervous, you know, others scared. Now, of course, you know, those that have a good understanding of God, they don't have no problem, you know, unless they're not living right. But people don't even know, they don't even realize what's been put in their heart, but they've got the law of Moses in their heart. It's a ministration of death, it's a ministration of condemnation. And then if they have any religious tradition taught to them, you know, about God's wrath and everything, and they don't know that we've been made accepted in the blood. They don't have a good understanding that Jesus died and rose again to justify them. And they think, well, you know, God's going to get me. Now, these scriptures in Hebrews 12 are talking about correction. And it says, we've not come to Mount Sinai where the law of Moses was given. So where are we come? Let's read that in the next verse. Ye have now come to Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem. This is the city of the living God where thousands and thousands of angels have come to celebrate. Okay, look at this in Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, as the Lord have said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So don't be afraid to receive correction, because we've come to Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem. See, people with the law of Moses in their heart and have committed all these transgressions, they think God wants to punish them. But we've not come to Mount Zion where we're going to be punished. We've come to Mount Zion so we can be delivered. So when what God is trying to, people need to get a hold of is, when God's speaking correction, it's to set you free. And, that's part of the walk. He already knows what you've done. He already knows. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go to God and talk to him. Don't be afraid to admit, what your sins are. He's not going to destroy you. Hell, he sent Jesus to die for you and raised again to justify you. Look at Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. That's in the Old Testament. God delighteth in mercy. Verse 19, he will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou will cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. So we see in Joel 2 and in Micah 7 is what God is like in the Old Testament. He wants to deliver us. He wants to pardon us. He wants to pass by the transgression and blot it out. And people say, well, what about where God destroyed the people of the earth in the flood? Well, let's look at the condition of the hearts of the people prior to this event. Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So the people of the earth had become so corrupt that they thought only evil continuously. Sin had run its course in these people. See, what do you do when people become so wicked? You can't correct them. You can't reason with them. We see that today where I've seen people you can't even reason with. You talk to them, you say you did this. No, I didn't. They can't even admit something they just did. You can't get them to come to the light. You can't get them to humble themselves. You can't get them to believe. They just are, you know, that's why it says, chasing thy son while there's yet hope for him. They become so wicked, you can't do nothing with them. Now, you have to understand, these people, the law of Moses had not been given yet. So they had no knowledge of sin. Okay? Now look at 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, who are these people Jesus went and preached to? Let's read the next verse. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few is, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now, these scriptures look like Jesus went to those people that died in the flood and gave them a chance to be saved. See? God is just. You know, because so you think, oh, he wiped them all out. Yeah, because he couldn't save them that way, so he went another way. So you need to understand there was nothing God could do for those people in Noah's day. They'd become so corrupt, so God destroyed their bodies. You know, it even talks about that in the New Testament where this one man was sleeping with his father's wife, and he was so wicked that God had the Apostle Paul deliver him over Satan for the destruction of flesh, that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying this is the same, but it could be. But anyway, God destroyed them in the flood, destroyed their bodies, and then later on he went and had Jesus preach to them. Their spirits were in prison. See, God didn't condemn them. See, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is so simple and so perfect of an illustration of the way God is. And we can see what God is like when we understand. First, God's righteous judgment and wrath upon sin. Then God's love and mercy on all of us by sending Jesus to take that wrath for us. See, we can see God is love, and the only thing that angers God is when people continue to do what they know is wrong, and reject the gospel and won't let God save them. All right? Turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and that's when Jesus walked the earth, was confirmed unto us by them that heard it. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. See, don't neglect the gospel. That's what will get eventually. Now, God's long-suffering. That's part of his nature. But he'll eventually get angry towards a person that continues in their sin. They know what they're doing is wrong. See, there's all kinds of things God does. First, he'll start convicting you of your sin. He'll start showing you your sin. He'll start working on your heart, start wanting to lead you to repentance. He'll show you the gospel. But as you see your sin and you see what Jesus did, you continue to resist knowing you're wrong, then eventually the wrath of God will come upon you. And then he still will be correcting you. But the day comes that people will become so wicked, God can't do nothing for them. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. See, they perish because they receive not the love of the truth they might be saved. See, God doesn't reject people. People reject God. And it doesn't matter what you've done wrong or what you're still doing wrong. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him save you. Not only from the punishment of sin, but save you from your sins. In other words, set you free from sin and make you righteous. That's what God wants to do. Whew, it's been difficult speaking this today, but that's always good. Sometimes there's a heaviness on me. I have to push through. It's hard for me to speak. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it no more. Praise God. I hope it sounds better than it. I think it does. I can't tell, but I'll find out. I'll go back and listen to it. Anyway, if there's any person out there that has never been saved, you've never received, you must receive the Spirit of Christ in you. You cannot just go to church and be right with God. You don't get right with God by being a good moral person. You cannot pay for your own sins. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins to be paid for. Then what he did on the cross pays for your sins. And so you have to call upon the name of the Lord. It says, if any man, and when you do, and you receive him as your Lord, the Spirit of Christ will enter into you. And it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Okay, so you don't belong to God unless you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't be good enough. You can't stand before God. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no remission of your sins. Okay, so don't reject the love of God. Don't be self-righteous and think you're going to stand before God and being a good person. I don't care if you make every effort in the world to be righteous. You cannot pay for your sins as you've done in the past, and your righteousness will all be filthy rags. It'll all be self-righteousness. You have to receive Jesus, walk in him, let him crucify the flesh so he can live through you. Then as you walk with him, let him live through you. You are the righteousness of faith and the righteousness of God, and that's what God accepts. And God will put a robe of righteousness on you while he's working in your heart. All right. So, if there's anyone out there that's not been saved, say this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, I just receive you as my Lord. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried. You were raised from the dead. I just receive you as my Lord. Amen. If you said that and you believe it, Spirit of Christ in you. You know, when I was 17, I said that prayer. And I remember peace of God came upon me. You want to know why? Because I'd made peace with God. Every human being on the earth can make peace with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the Son. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto God. No man cometh unto the Father but by Christ. You can't get to God any other way. You can't be righteous any other way. He who knew no sin, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right? That's it. That's the only way. So, those of you who received the Lord, Spirit of Christ entered into you, you and everybody else, I want to encourage you to continue to tune back in. Just give you an update of where I'm at. I did find out that I received a correspondence from the IRS saying that they rejected my 501c3 because they said something about my 1023 form is not for a church. I am a registered nonprofit organization in the state of Texas recognized by the Secretary of State. And I used LegalZoom to get my 501c3 and they said fill out this form. So either they don't know what they're doing or that someone from the IRS. So I'm going to have to get with the IRS Monday and find out what's going on. But I'll get through this. You know, I've learned this in life that in every profession, there are people that know what they're doing and there's people that don't. And I don't know anything about this. So I don't know if it's somebody from LegalZoom that doesn't know what's going on or someone from the IRS or both. So I'm not speaking against either one. I'm just going to have to get to the bottom of this and find out what's going on. We're also looking at different things that we're going to do going forward after we get the 501c. We're going to put a program. Most likely, I believe this is right, I'm going to put a program on Roku and then I'll probably be doing videos. I think it will help people relate to me because they can, when they see me speaking, they can much more relate to me than just hearing me in a podcast. You know, so it becomes more personal. And probably get on TikTok. I'm already on SoundCloud. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. I just started putting my podcast on LinkedIn. Probably go to TikTok. And we're going to just keep branching out. Keep reaching out to people. We've just begun. We just begin to fight. You know, and the Word of God says, an effectual door is open on you, and there are many adversaries. When God begins to lead you, and to go to a new avenue of ministry, guess what? There are many adversaries. The powers of darkness begin to resist you. I always get resistance. I get resistance on every side. And it's a good testimony, though, because when you're doing the will of God, you're going to get resistance. And now, it says, if need be, we're in manifold temptation. Sometimes God will hold back and put a hedge about you and not let the powers of darkness get at you yet, or not much of the powers of darkness, because you can't handle it yet. Okay, and as you get stronger, he'll let more at you. He's always let it get on me. I mean, but he obviously didn't let more than I could handle, or I would have been consumed. You know, don't kid yourself. These people say, oh, well, you know, the devil's been judged and his teeth are, I heard this, or well, he can't do anything. Well, he could if God let him. He's got plenty of power. Yes, he was judged and cast out through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you got to stand fast in the faith and resist him. All right? You got to overcome him. So, I think that's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.